Giles is a lonely, gay, out-of-work advertising artist who keeps at his meticulous craft with optimistic discipline, imagining, hoping against hope and reason that his big break is coming. Living alone in the tired old apartment next door, Eliza is a mute, scarred woman who departs each night for the long bus ride to her job cleaning the restrooms in a top-secret underground government facility. The two of the main characters around whom the story turns in Guillermo del Toro's remarkable movie, The Shape of Water. For all of their readily apparent differences, they have most in common, a trait that bonds their friendship. They are outsiders, shunned, ignored, avoided. Part of the enchantment of the movie is its deep plunge, pun intended, into magical realism, a cinematic flight of fancy that soars in certain alluring scenes. But it's also charming in its simple little quirks. Early on in the film, Giles and Eliza sit side by side on his well-worn sofa watching Betty Grable on a black and white console television. Signaling just how often they viewed that movie, they suddenly, subtly, join in a simple seated dance. His high-top brogans and her well-shined heels tapping out a multi-step sequence together. They're perfectly choreographed for the brief little shuffle, and amuse themselves with a grand flourish, looking into each other's eyes and smiling broadly. It would be a hardened viewer who is not smiling along with them at that point. The Shape of Water is a wild cinematic romp, full of high drama and deep intrigue. But the masterful del Toro somehow manages to weave in moments of utter charm, such that we suspend our disbelief and revel in them. When into the deeply secure and secret facility, Eliza somehow sneaks both a portable record player and a dual selection of vinyl records in their sleeves, Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller. And when she presents them as a choice to that mysterious river creature behind the thick tank of glass, we buy in. For that, we're rewarded with a payoff of deep delight. Eliza's sensual, light-footed dance before the creature with her mop. There's so much to be had in The Shape of Water that it has stayed with me in ways few movies do. Whatever else is at play in this now much acclaimed film, perhaps in large measure, at least for me, what made it memorable is this. Into the least likely of lives enters both subtle joy and seductive love. It has certainly occurred to me that my own and likely others' high regard for del Toro's work may have a great deal to do with our times. Our thumbs signal approval out of our own deep longing for reminders of joy and love in a time cursed with characters every bit as horrific as the villainous Colonel Richard Strickland. We cheer to see, spoiler alert, love triumph over greed, poignancy prevail over power, and joy break through into circumstances where joy could hardly have been expected. Today, we aren't trying to press some impressive point. We're not touting the necessity of transformation or searching anew for some way to address our prodigious social ills. There's plenty more of that to come, I assure you. Today, we're simply, though there's precious little that's simple about it, we're simply trying to call our collective attention to a world in which joy and love have not gone missing. We need joy, the late Maya Angelou recognized. We need joy as we need air. We need love, she contended. We need love as we need water. My friends, joy and love are not superfluous. Life's optional add-ons. Joy and love aren't indulgences, the prerogative of the privileged. Joy and love aren't rewards, the rightful earnings of the earnest. Joy is as essential as air, love as requisite as water. We may subsist without them, but we surely cannot live long in their absence. The great Rabindranath Tagore found joy in profusion. Joy is everywhere, he'd write. And after encyclopedic sequence proving his point, he underscores it again. Joy is there everywhere. That may be true. However, many of us may identify with the more modest account of Barbara Kingsolver. She admits that she has had to force herself to look hard. To look hard, she says, until I learn to be in love with my life again. I have, she attests, taught myself joy over and over again. Whether joy greets you at every turn, or whether you too have to go looking for it, whether love infuses your days in shimmering array or shows up in little glimmers and gleams, today is a reminder. It's an invitation. It is a summons. Let there be days of joy and love. It's okay. Really. No matter how fast the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, it's okay to be happy. That's what South African writer Koleka Patuma learned. Or she says, she is trying to learn, which is right up there with unlearning. It's okay to be happy, she writes. It's okay to have joy. It's okay to write about joy and talk about joy. And she is even trying to learn, she says, that joy is a birthright, even with all the crap around us. Sometimes joy breaks in, bidden or not. Sometimes we have to schedule it, make it show up. Sometimes love happens as our first sight. Sometimes we have to go looking for it. And the most poignantly wrenching moment in The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro stages an artistically acceptable, way over the top indulgence into magical realism. From a sad scene at a table weighted under impending grief and the creeping threat of mortality, suddenly we find ourselves in what film critic Sean Patrick calls opulent, indulgent beauty. It's a fantasy dance scene. a restaging of old movie dancing, replete with flowing gowned sophistication. Patrick deems it the best scene in any movie in 2017. Beautifully shot, elegantly staged, and he says, just damn entertaining. Some will do that this very week. They'll don one costume or another and, heeding Auden's famous counsel, throw down the mattock and dance while they can. They'll drink deeply from the well of joy because it is there, and in such places, drinking deeply from the well of joy is simply what they do. Without parades and beads and loud music and revelry for us to anticipate, we may need to find joy or notice joy or make joy as we can. Some, similarly, will indulge in over-the-top romance this week. They'll heed the call of the calendar and, aware of their utter good fortune, engage in a rose-hued, chocolatey day and night. Others may need to look for little glimpses to find love or notice love or make love as we can. If it is not readily apparent, we could, I suppose, follow Guillermo de Toro's lead and stage it. I admit that it might seem crazy what I'm about to say. But no matter how soggy this Sunday may seem, sunshine's right here. You can take a break. As if you were a hot air balloon that could go to space with the air like, you don't care, baby. By the way. And wherever or whenever joy or love appears, you really could clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Joy and love are setting a beat today, this week, and you can clap along if that's what you want to do.